organization is important to any endeavor or institution. The same is true with the most important institution ever established, the Church of our Lord. The Lord Himself gave specific organization to His church. Today we're going to discuss one very important aspect of the organization of the church, and that is the eldership. It's a biblical concept that needs to be studied. We hope you'll stay tuned as Jim Dierman talks to us about the eldership.
And now, Jim Dierman.
There's no question about the importance of the church as the Bible depicts it. The church is the most important institution ever established. We've been studying the church in recent lessons. We've dealt with the plan of salvation when I've been with you on the program in recent times. The plan of salvation that puts one into the church or the kingdom, and the church and the kingdom are one and the same. We've also dealt with the worship of the church, the specific acts of worship, the fact that God has a plan or a pattern for worship, that He has specified the manner in which we are to worship Him acceptably. We are to have the right attitude, and we're to worship in truth. The right attitude involves worshiping in spirit. To worship in truth means to worship as the Word of God directs us to worship. So we are to worship according to the Word. That's really the way to summarize it. And in John 4:24, Jesus said, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. We've looked at the specific acts of worship, and we've studied each one of those separately. Now today, we're going to talk about one aspect of church organization, elders. What role has God given the elders in the organization of the church? Is there really a specific organization that God has given for the church? The answer to that question is clearly yes. Just as there is a specific plan of salvation that puts one in the church, just as there are specific acts of worship, there is also a specific plan for the organization of the church. It may be that the vast majority of the religious world ignores that specific pattern of organization, and that is the case, but that does not change the fact that such a pattern exists, that God has given us a simple but beautiful and effective organization for the most important institution that has ever been or ever shall be established, the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How important is the church? Jesus Christ shed His blood to establish it. He said that the gates of Hades would not prevail against the building of the church. Matthew 16:18. The passage says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. In Acts chapter 2, we see the beginning of the church as the gospel of Christ was preached for the first time on that Pentecost day following the resurrection and ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. And those who cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? That is, what shall we do to be saved? Were told what to do, to be forgiven of their sins. And the Lord added those who were obedient, He added them to the church. Acts 2 verse 47 tells us. We're told in Colossians 1, verse 18, that Christ is the head of the body, the church. So the church is His body. We're told in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, that the church was in the mind of God long before the Mosaic law was ever established, that the church was the culmination of God's purpose and plan for saving man all along, and that if we are to be saved, we must be in the church. Ephesians 5:23. Listen to it. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Very clear, isn't it? The body is the church, as is clearly established elsewhere. Glory to God and glory to Christ can only be given or achieved in the church. Ephesians 3:21, unto Him be glory in the church. And so, every aspect of the church is important. And that includes the organization of the church. Now, the work of elders in the Lord's church is important because the church is important. Sometimes it is said, as goes the Bible school, so goes the church. But it could more nearly be said, as go the elders in the church, so goes the church. Because the elders are the overseers of the flock of God. They are specifically those who have been designated by God in His Word to oversee the work of the Lord's church. The work of an elder is a solemn responsibility, more so than any other work. He is responsible to the lost. He's responsible to the saved, that is, those who are already in the church. Certainly, his responsibility is especially great in the challenging age in which we live. One of the most critical points in the history of a local congregation of the Lord's people is reached when it is time to select elders, because the elders determine its course. And the selection of those elders is to be made according to the scriptural qualifications. In our discussion of this part of God's organization for the church, the eldership, let's first of all discuss the need for elders. Now, the church is not a human organization. It's a divine organization, and yet it must be organized. In fact, any group that hopes to accomplish anything must be organized. What is the church? The church is the group of the saved that are banded together. They are the called out from the world. This is the basis for an organized church. But the church has not reached its scriptural organization without elders, because God intends for the church to have elders who oversee the flock. That is, they oversee a specific congregation. And we stress that the elders who are over the flock of God, over the congregation, are simply that. They are over a congregation. There is no centralized form of government as far as the New Testament is concerned, as far as the teaching of the New Testament is concerned. You see, each congregation in the New Testament is autonomous, that is, independent. But to be fully and scripturally organized as a congregation, the New Testament teaches that there must be elders and then deacons who work under those elders and carry out specific tasks in the church. The Bible mentions elders on more than one occasion. In Acts 11, 29 and 30, Luke wrote, "Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul." Now, this is the first time that elders are mentioned in the church. They were to be responsible for the oversight of the funds, this money that was being collected and sent to relieve the brethren who dwelt in Judea. Of course, deacons would be involved in the use of those funds under the oversight of the elders in carrying out the work. Now, in Acts 14, 23, Luke wrote, "So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed." Philippians 1, verse 1, is a very significant passage. In Philippians 1 and verse 1, Paul mentions bishops. He mentions bishops in Philippians 1 and verse 1, along with the deacons. Now, bishops is simply another term for elders. The church at Philippi was a scripturally organized church with bishops and deacons, because he writes to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. All the saints would be all the Christians. And then, of course, the bishops were the elders and the deacons working under them. The elders, incidentally, are referred to as overseers or bishops, and also as shepherds who are to shepherd the flock. They're referred to as elders or presbyters, the Greek term, and they simply differ in designation, but not in work. as we see the Greek term from presbyteros, presbyters, as we see overseers, as we see shepherds, as we see the term pastor even. That is the term, all of these terms are for the elders in the church. They are different designations, but not different works or different offices. They all refer to the same office. And we will generally, in our study of this matter, refer to them as elders. But keep in mind that there are these other terms that are biblical expressions that describe the work or the function of these who are elders, overseers or bishops, shepherds, pastors. They're all one office. And there is no other arrangement for directing the work of the church other than elders as the overseers of the individual congregations of the Lord's people. We emphasize that point. There is no other arrangement for directing the work of the church other than God's arrangement that we're studying about right here in the New Testament. If so, what is that arrangement? Is it up to us to determine how it is that we are going to see that the church is governed? Is it a matter of practicality as we view practicality, something that might be more practical than the Lord's arrangement? We have no right to do that. What we have the responsibility to do is to follow God's pattern for the organization of the church. We have no right to deviate from God's pattern. The elders are the only ones with authority. They have that authority. That is a God-given authority. As men meet the qualifications given by God through the Holy Spirit as He revealed them and recorded them in the Scriptures. And when they meet those qualifications, they certainly may be appointed as elders. There's no substitute for elders as overseers. Substitution amounts to rejection of God's plan. And so we can't simply say, well, I don't like that plan. We're going to go with another plan. No, we can't do that. Although there are substitutions that man has offered or made. Now, some of the substitutions offered by some are, well, anyone can serve as an elder. Or no one can serve as an elder. That would make things too lenient or too strict. Anyone can serve as an elder, that's too lenient. No one can serve as an elder is an attitude or a position that makes things too strict. Or to say, well, we just have men in the church who are leaders of the church. That's the way we're going to keep it. We're satisfied with that. We're not going to work to appoint elders. We're just going to have men who are leaders in the church. No, that's not equivalent to having elders. That does not meet God's requirement for a scripturally organized church. When we fail to follow the biblical qualifications and to see the need of elders, the result is heartache. The result is rebellion against the will of God, because God has designated that elders are to be the overseers of the flock. Well, who are these men? Let's talk about the men themselves. Let's talk about the man himself, the elder. Who is qualified? Not everyone can serve. But it is critical. It's a critical time when a congregation of the Lord's church is selecting elders, as we've said. The direction of the church is determined, and the right man can do much good. The wrong man can stifle and hurt the church if he is a part of the eldership. We cannot choose one man and let him be the elder. There is always to be a plurality of men who are the elders, plural, over an individual congregation or flock of God, over which they are the shepherds. Now, the qualifications of elders are found in 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. This is a true saying we find in this text. If a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. Well, it's been said that the first qualification of an elder is that he desires to serve. Well, it is true that he is to desire the work. That's 1 Timothy 3 and verse 1. You see, he's not to be constrained or forced to serve. but is to have that desire. And then the passage goes on to say, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Then verse 6, not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, that is, outside the church, out in the world, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Now, qualifications for elders are also listed over in Titus 1, verses 5 through 9. All of these qualifications are given by divine wisdom. God knew what He expected of the church and the type of men it would take to guide the church. They must be spiritually qualified men. It is something that is too often forgotten. They must be deeply spiritual men who are scripturally qualified. Even in the Lord's church, where elders are appointed, we cannot forget the spiritual importance that is attached here. Age does not necessarily guarantee maturity. The man who is to be an elder is to have a family. He's to be experienced in the ruling of his own house, having faithful children, obedient to the will of God, Christians, that is, Christian children. He's to have the right kind of home, and that involves leadership in his marriage as well as in the guidance of his children. He is to have a good disposition. He's not to be a compromiser or to be soft or weak. He's to have a good attitude in dealing with people, and that is seen in his hospitality, in not being a striker, a brawler, not being angry, not being easily angered, but being patient. These qualifications go a long way in helping to solve church problems, don't they? Also, the elder is to have a good character. He is to be of good behavior, blameless, sober, not given to wine, to have a good report of those who are in the community. That is, those who are not even Christians should look upon him with respect. He's to be just and holy and temperate. He's to be a good example to others. He's to be a peacemaker, not a troublemaker. Again, the idea of being a peacemaker is seen in the fact that he is to not be a brawler or striker, but is to be patient and gentle. You know, it's hard to be a peacemaker if you are a troublemaker. A troublemaker cannot qualify to serve as an elder. And also, we live in a materialistic age, and this is a danger to the church's thinking and planning. That is, when we think of terms of building, or if we think in terms of numbers, material things, the church building or numbers that fill that building. Now, certainly we need to think of things that are necessary to carry on the work of the Lord's church. They have their place. But in and of themselves, they are not a measure of spirituality. So, the fact that a man is successful in his business and can make money does not mean that he would be a good elder in the Lord's church. That's the point we're making here. He must have demonstrated leadership ability. But remember, one of the terms for one to serve in this capacity is the term shepherd. An elder is a shepherd. He's to be a shepherd, a leader, and is to follow in the steps of the good shepherd. But elders must have a potential for growth. In 1 Peter 2, 1 and 2, Peter wrote, "As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." All of us need to grow, but how much more do elders need to apply themselves to spiritual growth in the Word of God? If they do not grow, the church will soon reach its limitations, and then there will be trouble. An elder is to be a man of the book. He's to be a Bible man. And that is seen in the qualification that one must be apt or willing or capable to teach, and not to be a novice. Paul wrote to Titus in Titus 1:9, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. This is one of the qualifications for elders that Paul discusses in his letter to Titus. So an elder is to be one who has knowledge of the book and is apt to teach, capable of teaching, willing to teach. He needs to be a man of courage who can work with others. He needs to be a man of compassion. He needs to be informed. But about the work itself, it is a work that he certainly needs to take very seriously. Too many view the position of an elder as just that, a position, an honorary position. It's a work. He must view it as a work. It is not an honorary position to be an elder in the Lord's church. It is a work, a solemn and sobering and serious work. It's not a political position. It is a spiritual work. And one who serves as an elder must put the salvation of souls first, and everything else becomes secondary to that. It is a work of stewardship. An elder needs to recognize that he is a steward. Paul spoke to the elders at Ephesus. He wrote, where it's recorded there by Luke in Acts 20:28, "Therefore take heed," he said, "to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." You see, the church is God's church. It does not belong to the elders. They are simply shepherds serving under the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. And there are right and wrong motives for work. Look at what Peter wrote in 1 Peter 5, 1 through 3. "The elders who are among you I exhort, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers," listen to it, "not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock." Yes, elders are to be good examples. They do have authority given to them by God, but they are not to serve by constraint. They are not to be pushed to serve, nor are they to serve for material gain. They are not to lord it over the church, but are to serve from the proper motive. Now, to summarize, let's look at the elders' duties. They must carry out the mission of the church. They must examine themselves. Paul told the Ephesian elders to take heed to themselves. They must be characterized by watchfulness. They must watch for false teaching and false teachers. They must watch for the souls of the flock. Acts 20:31. They are to exhibit leadership. They are to be shepherds. Therefore, they are to feed the flock. They are to be examples. They are to follow the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. Yes, they are to rule. They have authority given to them by the Holy Spirit, who gave the qualifications through the Word. When men meet these qualifications, they have that authority. They are to take care of the flock as a mother cares for a child. They're to take care of the funds of the church. They're to support the work. They are to stop the mouths of false teachers, as the Scriptures admonish in Titus 1, 10, and 11. We ought to be very thankful for good elders in the Lord's church. Certainly their work is not easy. They need prayers and support. It's a grand and glorious but awesome responsibility that elders have. But what we want to emphasize here, to those of you who are examining this matter of organization of the Lord's church, is that it is not a question of what we think will work in terms of the organization of the church. It is what God has specified that we must follow. And that's true in organization as well as in every other aspect of the Lord's church. The elders, a qualified plurality of men, oversee a particular congregation, singular, one congregation. Each congregation is independent and autonomous and is under the oversight of a group of men, elders, bishops, shepherds, presbyters, as the elders is the term, the pastors. Pastors are not the preachers. The preacher is not a pastor unless he also serves as an elder, as Peter did in the New Testament. The term pastor applies to those who are the elders. It's a term for elders. And they are men, in the plural, who meet the qualifications given by Almighty God through the Holy Spirit. There's one passage in the New Testament dealing with elders that needs to be mentioned because it uses the term pastors to refer to elders, to emphasize the point we've just made. It is the same word in the original language, the Greek, that we've talked about, which is often translated shepherd. And it is to feed, the idea of shepherding the flock. That word is translated pastors in Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, where the verse says, "And he gave some, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors," there it is, "and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." The word pastors there is used to designate elders. Thank you for being with us today. We hope this has been a profitable study. Until next time, for Don Blackwell, I'm Jim Dierman.